Hey kids, before we get started this week, I want to put out a pretty big content warning for this episode. We have, from about the 28-minute mark, some very harrowing first-person accounts of police brutality. It got my blood pressure up, and will probably do the same to you, just so you know. That is coming down the pipe, and ends at around 37 minutes. Thanks for listening. Hey guys, gals, and non-binary pals, welcome to Southpaw's episode 466, Seattle Autonomous Zone Act 1. I'm Savrin.
I'm Fuzzle.
And if all things go to plan, we'll have a couple of voices here later in the call joining us from the Chaz. So we will hopefully be able to have that conversation with our two guests here later, but things are apparently going a little weird there right now, so we'll hopefully hear from them before the end of the show. So, it has been another exciting week. Unfortunately, Shiva is not here to join us this week. She, unfortunately, is in the hospital right now. Thoughts and prayers her way, because she's got medical issues that suck, so we've got to worry about that. Thankfully, so far, so good. Everything, I'm still healthy here in at my place, and I hope everybody seems to be the same at yours, Fuzz.
Yeah, nothing's really different here.
Yeah. I actually got some news this week. My mom had COVID and obviously survived.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good news. And I guess my dad was just an asymptomatic carrier, because I'm assuming that if she had it, he would have gotten it too. But thankfully, my parents made it through okay. My mom just had bad asthma for a bit. And, you know, she did have some of the lung damage, but she's still here, which is important.
Hmm. I hadn't heard about the lung damage.
It basically fucks up your lungs somehow. It reduces lung capacity, which is why it's such a big concern for me, because I've got bad lungs as it is.
Yeah. So they tested her.
She got the full brain poke, where like they got to stick the big old cotton swab way back in your head.
Jeez. And it pokes out your ear.
Yep.
So it's all one lung tube.
That's the health stuff for this week. So it's like, I've been in contact with her a couple times since then, just being like checking on her, because like, mm-hmm. Oh no, my poor fragile parents.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. They've been following all the rules, but with Texas deciding that they're bored of the coronavirus and would rather focus on other things, they're just going to say, fuck it. So it's the immunocompromised people in our population that are going to suffer for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, even though we've had other things dominating the media narrative, definitely, you know, all the protests around George Floyd's murder, that's flooded the media. But hey, the coronavirus is still here. There's still no vaccine. And so, like, going out and doing stuff, like being in crowds, is still really, really bad. And like, we're starting to see the spike here in Dallas County from the 2 week ago.
From the
Memorial Day.
Reopening and Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day.
Yeah, they reopened Memorial Day weekend, and I guess people went. I mean, we ain't got beaches here, so I don't know what the fuck they were doing, but I guess people went out. Maybe they got haircuts or something. I don't know.
When they opened the pool here at my complex, that place was packed.
Oh my god.
So, like, there's lots of people still using it, and it's like, man.
I really hope people would be. Okay, I was going to say I really hope people would be smarter about it, but, you know, you follow government authorities. If you're not, like, super online like we are, and following Twitter and reading all this stuff, it's just like, well, the governor said we could go out again, so we're going to go out again. And, of course, everyone is like, oh, thank goodness. They probably legit think it's safe, and we can blame our fucking idiot governor and idiot president for that.
And yeah, Texas hospitalizations are way up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even if gross numbers are not that high here in Texas, there's still no real effective way to treat it. You get it and you go through it. That's it.
Yeah.
Like,
you either live or you die, basically. And it doesn't really seem to be effective treatment other than, I mean, unless you're at the point of needing to be intubated, they basically just tell you to go home, take Tylenol, and treat it like you would if you had a flu.
Good luck. Like,
good luck. If you start having trouble breathing, you know, give us a call.
Yeah. Though I am...
We'll stick a tube down your throat.
So related to that, though, like, I am pleased with the uptick of masks as fashion. And, like, even if a lot of websites are probably going to drop doing them after a little while because, oh, it's over with. It's not over with. Or my order of Vapor 95 masks should have come in today. I haven't gotten the mail yet because it wasn't here when I went to check. So I'll have another three, like, Vaporwave-styled masks that I can wear. Like, I'm just going to take them on as, like, a fashion thing that I'm going to just wear. Because till we find a way to deal with this shit, I would really rather not, you know, not be able to breathe. Plus, masks are cool.
Honestly, I don't see an issue with that as a new fashion accessory, you know? Like, 50 years from now, we might look back on it and be like, oh, for, like, 5 years after 2020, masks were, like, the big thing because of the pandemic that year. And, you know, who knows? Might be an interesting thing. Send me a link to the Vaporwave thing, because I'd totally pick up a fucking Vaporwave mask.
Yeah, and what's cool is that they, they're, like, made in the U.S., so they take a little while to get made and ship, but that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. I sent you the picture of the three, like, one's a Kitsune mask, one's the Macintosh plush flower shop cover, and then other one's just, like, a geometric design. And they have some really cool stuff on that website that, like, I would totally wear. But, you know, we're talking... Mm-hmm. There's also plenty of furries that are making masks. Like, Six Leaf Clover had some, and, like, they had them where they had multiple expressions. So you can get the happy fox and the unhappy fox and the growly fox. So it's like you can do the hexadecimal thing from Reboot where you just wave your hand and your mask changes. Doesn't quite work that way in real life, but that would be cool.
I saw somebody had a thing where they had... I guess with LEDs or something, they'd put a thing in where, like, the mask could look like a smile with lights, and it actually, like, sensed when your facial muscles were moving.
Yeah, and I have seen one also where, like, they did the mask, but also included, like, an LED panel, like, a transparent one-way LED panel, so it, like, had the LCD display on the outsides of, like, anime eyes, but you could see through it. So... That's cool. I mean, the face tech is getting really good. I was seeing someone who had been working on a Protogen, like, fursuit hat, and they have, like, the LED face where, like, the face reacts to being booped, and if it gets booped too much in a short period of time, it gets little angry eyes. It's like, you're over-booping the robot lizard.
Where did you send me these pictures? I don't see them anywhere.
I'll find them, because, like, I know I sent them a couple days ago, but it's been a couple days, right? There. I have taken a screenshot on my phone, and I will send it to you in the chat, Fuzz. There.
Woohoo!
So, moving on to related things, because the George Floyd protests are still going on. It's no longer just about George Floyd. I mean, his murder was the spark that lit the powder keg of this country, and... It's now lots and lots of shit. Lots of more violence has been brought to light. And it's resulted in some really interesting repercussions. Like, who would have thought that in the year 2020 was going to be the time where NASCAR banned the Confederate loser flag? Like,
still show it at the end of every race.
Yeah, that's very true. But also, like, NASCAR, yeah. But then also apparently the Marines and the Navy have gone to banning that, which is, like, why would the Marines and the Navy have dudes displaying the loser flag of the rebellion?
I don't know. For the same reason fucking Minnesotans have the loser flag outside their house.
It's just, like, one, you would have thought that would have been banned, because who knows, but...
It's a little weird that the U.S. military would literally display the flag of traitors, right? But I guess they all fell into the hole of, it's my heritage, probably some decades ago.
Yep.
Hello.
Hey, Tempest. Is that what we should call you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Glad you're able to join us. So you're on the road and heading towards the Chaz. Can you hear us okay?
Hi, I'm back.
Okay, cool.
Oh, okay, cool.
Sorry about that. I was disconnecting. Yeah, I was just disconnecting from Wi-Fi to mobile. So
yeah, that would definitely do it.
Yeah. I'm so sorry about that.
No, it's quite all right. And we're just glad to have you on. So this is Tempest. She is joining us from the Seattle region, and you've been on the ground and involved with what all's been going down there in the CHAZ.
Yeah, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. There's also a couple other names floating around involving political allegations and stuff like that, but it's a very much a pluralist community that is based around multiple ideas and cooperation with each other and community outreach at its core goal.
Seeing that form up after the cops tried to bait you into burning down the precinct has just been cool as hell, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, it has.
I love that it already has a Wikipedia article.
And I also find it very funny that there was somebody online who'd made a map showing the space of the CHAZ and had it labeled and stuff. And that goofy map ended up on Fox News when oh my God, look at these dangerous terrorists that have taken over multiple blocks and are watching documentaries and listening to music.
How dare they?
And offering free food and medical care and planting gardens and flowers in the park.
Terrorism.
Terrorism at its finest.
Yeah. It was a furry that made that map, by the way. It was a party Pratt.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pratt. Yeah. Yeah, she's a local down there in Capitol Hill, I think, or somewhere around there. She's moved around recently, so I don't know exactly what's going on in that one. But yeah, she was just absolutely astounded. She made it as a joke, and it just took off without her even realizing. And she just kind of sketched it out really quick. And she's had a lot of baits from FBI and a lot of really sus online accounts and presences. And it's been pretty funny to say.
It's really interesting just how wild people have gone with the bizarre claims that people are making. Oh, that there's a warlord and the homeless are stealing all the food and all this other stuff. I've seen people complaining about people spreading intentional misinformation about this. That's part of the reason why I wanted to make sure to talk to somebody who actually had been down there on the ground at the CHAZ and, knew what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. So there's actually overabundance of food, and whenever they close down a kitchen or they have to rotate out something, because there's hot food as well as cold and packaged food. Packaged food is typically preferred because it can be stockpiled and given out a lot more easily and stuff like that. The claim that someone stole all the food was debunked within 5 minutes. The people were what?
Oh,
just going over there and taking pictures
one.
And stuff. Yeah.
The sheer amount of bloodlust that I've seen people display online is not surprising, but still disappointing. Wanting people, mm-hmm. Come in and, no quarter and all that other nonsense. When it's just you go down there and you see the people just kind of chilling. They're cooperating and behaving in a commune.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see that mm-hmm. the people that instantly assume that the moment that the cops are not going to be there, that we are somehow going to fall to bloody anarchy where everyone's going to be knifing everybody else. And that stuff like this at the heart of a city has obviously not done that, where it's people, like you said, distributing food and taking care of each other and, educating each other.
Right, right. It kind of goes into a point I pointed out earlier with a bunch of friends. It's just that a community, a system, a belief, or a culture forms around adversity. That's how the easiest way to form a group of people or culture develops. The second way off of that is a shared belief. And a belief in this message and a belief of unity and community outreach is the absolute...
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Hey. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Doctor's office was taking just a smidge longer than I was expecting.
That's quite all right. Glad to have you both on.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Do I have a lot of road noise on my mic, by the way?
No, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
We're just having some discussion here with Tempest about her experience down at the CHAZ and what all's been going on. And if you would like to share your thoughts and whatnot.
Yeah.
We're focusing on the CHAZ right now because it's kind of under threat, as per what Tempest said. But obviously, I definitely want to hear about your experiences during the protests earlier in the week, Ashna, especially since you had been sending us videos.
Yeah, so it all started, technically, I think it started the night before the Saturday that I went, but for the most part, it started that Saturday. All right. So when I was there on Saturday, we were a completely peaceful group. And I was kind of trying to join along with this crowd that was kind of just funneling in from the city into the main march. But a row of cops kind of funneled on past us. And then at the very end of the road, they kind of made this ring. And they expanded out that ring until they were blocking most of the road. Now, the group was very tightly packed, so we couldn't get out of the way quite fast enough. So instead of just waiting for us to be able to move, the cops just started pepper spraying us. Just a completely pointless escalation of violence. And that was a full 30 minutes before the police car that was lit on fire that the media report as what started it.
I mean, it's not surprising that, I mean, in all these situations, like 100% of the time, it's the cops that are instigating. Like, we have hundreds, literally hundreds of videos of this from the past weekend. There's a lawyer named Greg Doucette making another mega thread where he has well over 400 videotape instances of police brutality and them instigating violence against citizenry.
Yeah.
So, like, and it's been interesting to note because, like, anytime the cops aren't there to bash skulls, the protests remain peaceful. Like, it's
yeah,
not...
that's what we've seen in the Chaz.
As I say, the cops aren't there and people are being chill. Now, like, I fully expect them to bring the boot back down as hard as they can because they're the fucking cops. But mm-hmm. It's shown that the community taking care of itself is what actually needs to happen, and that the cops are just a force of violence in a community, especially in, like, the protests that we've seen.
Yeah.
Like you said, the cops instigated with you and in basically everywhere else. I mean, it even started way back at the AutoZone that got smashed initially in Minnesota, that it was, like, a cop that broke the windows and basically kicked all that off. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they've been 100% behind all this violence, and they're responding to violence with more violence. It's nuts.
Yeah, violence plus violence does not equal nonviolence. If the police are going to be violent towards peaceful protesters, those peaceful protesters aren't going to remain peaceful. A lot of them will leave because they don't want to, but there's going to be a number of people that will escalate if the cops escalate.
Going back to the Chaz, right, they wanted people to burn down the third precinct. And
yeah.
Y'all didn't take the bait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they left the doors unlocked and everything. They left entry routes that were just kind of slightly obscure after all the fencing that they put in. It was, like, everyone looked at it, and immediately when they started pulling back and abandoning it, it was very obvious that it was a trap for tear gas grenades to start going off at any moment. So everyone was just inching up the street very, very slowly to the precinct until they realized, yes, it is abandoned. And next, everyone was just thinking, conspiracy theories. Like, okay, why would they just abandon it all of a sudden? You know, are they actually taking steps to de-escalation? Or are they trying to set us up here? And everyone kind of talked, and it was just an entire night of confusion. But the one ringing message was, don't touch the precinct. Don't go inside of it. There may be a SWAT team ready to just smack down everyone in there. You know,
Sorry about the noise, I'm shutting off my car.
Yep.
Anyway,
so it was just an overabundance of caution and reasoning heads and just the confusion of the night with the cops suddenly just immediately pulling back just kind of made everyone kind of think, you know what, this smells a lot like bait. And then everyone just started putting together the pieces, seeing the pallets on the in the alleyway and around it and adding, like, fire to it. And the fact that all the surrounding buildings are wood framed over there, and that they were willing to lose entire city blocks to show to promote their narrative. And instead, we set up a commune, an autonomous zone. We maintain the healthcare that we had out there, the food and music, and just the cultural showcases that everyone wanted to do out there. You know, we've been in discussion with the Duwamish tribe since. Since we started talking about the commune, as soon as we decided to set up the autonomous zone, it was immediately the native tribe that was displaced by the city of Seattle was brought in for discussion and are an integral part of the culture there too, along with the people of color and the other minorities.
That is extremely cool.
Yeah.
as outsiders, we don't necessarily hear that unless we're like specifically looking for information on what's going on in the Chaz. It's just like media disinformation and people making weird ass claims. The fact that y'all made sure to include Native Americans and stuff and such in as well as everybody else is really good. Cause like a lot of the discussion, you know, we focus on it's come up as a second, not a secondary thing, but like a thing alongside a parallel thing, with a lot of discussions of like Native repression and stuff in the community, both in like the free community and in just America in general. And so that's really cool that y'all mm-hmm. made sure to include the Native tribes that had been displaced. It has been cool to see also, Native tribes saying, all right, well, we've asked for a long time to take down the statue of Christopher Columbus, so we're just going to do it ourselves.
Or behead him.
Exactly.
And so, like, I think it's really cool that people are realizing, well, there's more of us than there are of them, and it doesn't take a lot of people to actually try to affect change in your community. Like, setting up an autonomous zone to feed and take care of the people around you, and it just runs smoothly it's not run for that long, but what it has done is shown that it's possible. And like, it's showing people what is possible, that there is a better future possible if people would, you know, work together.
So I do have a question about how, like, from what I understand, a lot of the restaurants and stuff that are up there serve in that area are like small indie restaurants. They're not big chain restaurants. Are they donating food, or are people able to pay them so that they can stay in business, or how is that working out?
I've noticed a lot of them are staying open. Now, for the majority of the violence, while the police were still there, they closed down. They didn't want to get their employees tear gassed. Some of them did stay open, though. But once mm-hmm. the police backed off, a lot of those places started opening back up and serving to the people. But not only were there small restaurants still selling food, but there's also a lot of people just taking donations and giving out free food. I've had situations where I've been out in the Chaz longer than I was expecting, and just walking down to one of the booths and them giving me a free hot dog, not even expecting a donation, which I, of course, gave.
Nice. So it is, you know, everyone according to their needs and so forth, the way it's being treated.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Capitol Hill is... Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, a friend of mine has a comic shop up there not far from that area, Phoenix Comics and Games. And, I think it's still technically outside the Chaz. I'm not sure how far away it is.
Yeah, if it's on Pine, it doesn't look like it's there. However, if it's on Pike, it very much is not inside the Chaz. But yeah, like the medic station, one of the restaurants, Rancho Bravo, I believe it's called. Rancho Bravo Tacos. Yeah, they've actually opened their doors and they made their outside seating area the medical center, where they treat people for just a myriad of injuries and tear gas and pepper spray and abrasions and burns and contusions, and all the injuries that were generated by the police were treated right there in this restaurant's patio, and as well as by the EMTs and paramedics that had embedded themselves in the crowd to ensure the safety of everyone around them. And even after they abandoned East Priest, they'll continue to provide free health care and health services to anyone that came up and asked and needed it. They routinely close down donations because they are only accepting what they need to buy the materials that they are starting to fall low on. And that is it. So half the time I've tried to donate to them, they've refused my donation because they don't need it.
Wow.
That's cool.
It's kind of like the all the funds in Minnesota related to the Black Lives Matter. Once they started getting so many donations, they were like, hey, we don't need any more money. Donate to these smaller organizations instead, which is pretty very cool.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Tempest, you mentioned the EMTs that were there on the street. I actually have a firsthand encounter with one. Not last time I was in the Chaz, but the time before that. So late last week. It was the last big altercation with the police before they left that I'm aware of. They were trying to get a busload of riot cops in from like one of the rear entrances to the area that the police used to be blocking off. And I decided to try and go up and stand in front, not directly in front of the bus, but keep the cops from pushing open a gap. So I was standing like right in front of them, and a cop hits me with a blast of pepper spray. And the thing about the pepper spray the police are using is it's, if I'm not mistaken, about 2 to 3 times stronger than what's commercially available. So I'm personally not military trained or anything. I don't have much experience with pepper spray or tear gas. And according to the street medic who used to be a EMT that helped me, apparently the pepper spray that they used on me was so strong that I had gone into shock.
Oh, geez.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm fine now.
Yeah.
Had a great story. But
yeah,
that pepper spray is way too strong for them to be using on civilians or anyone for that matter.
That's fucked up.
I mean, there's a reason that it's banned by the Geneva Conventions. It's a good thing the U.S. isn't signed to them, right? Ha ha ha.
Yeah, it's a damn shame that they are willing to use things that are banned in war because they cause excessive suffering and pain to try and inflict things. And the thing is, the brain has a certain way of dealing with that overstimulation that comes from that amount of pain, and it just blacks it out. It blacks out the memory. And it starts to set in with a trauma or with a PTSD, and you don't remember the exact pain, but the circumstances around it start becoming emotionally embedded into your psyche a lot of the times. And I don't remember the pain when I get pepper sprayed. I don't remember the pain when I'm enduring the tear gas, only being focused on what I need to do. And that's the mantra that I had to do to get through the pain, because On the most recent weekend, on the Saturday, when I was out there, I was running fire control. And fire control in a protest means that when tear gas is used, you use whatever you can to extinguish the tear gas grenades before they can cause a mass amount of suffering and aid in the dispersal. So it allows people to regroup on that same street instead of having to flow away, break apart, and reform later. So one of the most common techniques used is a bucket of water or a traffic cone. You grab the tear gas grenade with thick leather gloves on because it burns so hot. You dump it inside the bucket. And then you, once it stops bubbling, you take it out and you throw it to the side and you grab another tear gas canister and you throw it in there, because they'll just be popping off 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tear gas grenades at a time. With the traffic cone method, you grab the traffic cone, you stuff it on top of, you stuff the traffic cone on top of the tear gas grenade, and you start dumping bottles of water in there. And you extinguish the tear gas grenades that way. Usually it takes 2 or 3 bottles of water, but it's the most convenient way to transport the water versus a bucket that can spill. There's been a lot of people that have been bringing out waterproof bags to that are like canvas and collapsible, fit in a pocket. And then when the tear gas starts popping off or the flashbangs start popping off, they grab a bunch of bottles of water, dump them inside their waterproof bags, and then use that to extinguish the tear gas. But by far the most simplest and jury rig method is simply grabbing a traffic cone and dumping water. Contains the gas, and then is a very good focal point to extinguish the actual canister itself. And on that Saturday, I was running fire control, and I think I put out 3 or 4 canisters by myself with the assistance of the other fire control team, other members of the fire control team. And then the actual dispersal, the beanbag rounds, the blast balls are 40 millimeter grenade rounds that are launched from the revolver style grenade launchers that the police are utilizing. They have 3 different variants depending on escalation that they are trying, or de-escalation or subduing that they're trying to perform. So the most common one is called a blast ball or a Force XE or something like that. It's a blue foam round, and it only has an effective range about 10 to 15 feet away, but the police love to use it at less than 6 feet because of the accuracy of the round degrades as it goes farther away. So when they started advancing the bicycle line, which they use a Roman phalanx method where they stab out with one person with that on the bicycle. They do very aggressive motions, very sudden motions to try to disorient and distract, while another person that is behind them is actually performing the actual, you know, use of their less than lethal rounds. And so it's one of those things where since I was fire control, I got stuck at the front of the crowd, and I realized I had a very opportune moment here because I have this training with less than lethal rounds from my time, from my 8 years that I was in the Navy. I have some of the programs I was in involved endurance training with exposure to less than lethal measures. And so I knew I could handle the pain. I know I wasn't going to die from it. So I stood there while they were throwing flashbangs, and each flashbang going off at my feet, going off at my waist, going off everywhere, eventually blew my pants to shreds. The only thing that was keeping my pants on by the time that I moved on to delaying tactics and just essentially being a DPS tank, if to use RPG terms here. When I moved to being a DPS tank at the front of the lines, it was just like, okay, here we go. I'm going to be out here as long as possible. I'm going to slow them down as much as possible so that everyone else behind me has a chance to reform, so that they waste all these rounds on me that won't have any, that will have a physical effect on me. But mentally, I wasn't even flinching, as, you know, my belt and my knee pads were the only things keeping my pants together. After about, 15 minutes of the dispersal tactics they used. I was hit with blast balls. I was hit with pepper balls. They wasted an entire can of pepper spray on me from their 36-ounce cans, but I was wearing my gas mask, and it was ineffective. It started just burning and agitating and irritating my skin. I had chemical burns for the next 24 hours or so after that from just the pepper spray being soaked into my skin and my clothes.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
if I can intervene just real quickly, she was so heavily covered in pepper spray that by the time I found her afterwards, my face was burning from just hugging her.
Oh my God.
Anyways, yeah. Tempest, go on.
Yeah, so eventually, I'm a very large person. I am 280 pounds. I'm 6'3". I'm a mechanic as my day trade, moving very large pieces of hydraulic machinery around. So I've maintained my muscle mass prior to starting HRT. And it's one of those things where I look skinnier than I actually weigh. And so police officers coming up trying to shove me or push me off balance, they ended up kind of bouncing off of me. Bike cops running into me at, like 7-8 miles an hour, end up crashing into each other. Eventually that made me into a very big target. And that's when they brought the blast balls and started hitting me with the blast balls. One of them hit me on the breast, and I essentially caught the round between my bicep and my breast. And the, as the, the time went on, they realized I wasn't even flinching. I was actually taunting them as they were continuing to do this punishment on me. But the entire time that was going in my head is every round they waste on me, every drop of pepper spray that they, waste on me, that they spray me and they douse me with, every single pepper ball that explodes on me, that gets dispersed before it hits someone else, is less than someone else that doesn't have to experience that pain and suffering. And it was, that was the only thing that was getting me through just this massive amount of abuse while I'm stuck at the front of this crowd and just delaying the police and preventing them from forming very organized lines and increasing the speed that they try to attempt the dispersal. So eventually a police officer comes up on a bicycle, and they've done this maneuver probably about 7-8 times in front of me before, where they skid the back tire out and they hop off and they brace themselves on it and they form a bike wall. Well, this cop did the same thing, but when he kicked his leg over, he also picked up his bike and hit me in the gut with it. And when I was off balance from the gut, he reached over his bike and grabbed the filter on my mask, and he started pulling and tugging me over towards his bicycle, while his buddy, another cop that was behind him, and they had discussed this obviously because it was very well coordinated, very well practiced, started spraying me towards my ear and into the seal where my mask was at, because the cop knew shaking my mask would dislodge the seal, break the seal, and allow the pepper spray to start flowing in. So they started then just shooting the side of my head only with this pepper spray, filling my mask entirely. I couldn't purge the pepper spray out fast enough. And this is the, the weapon grade pepper spray out there. Instantly blind, instantly couldn't breathe. And finally, like, I reeled back a little bit, managed to break free from the officer holding my mask, because if he maintained that grip, they would have arrested me for resisting and for breaking curfew and being part of, you know, riots, and they would have just lobbied as many charges against me as possible. So I broke free, and the cop picked up his bike and hit me again, knocking the wind out of me, forcing me to gasp even harder. So I have the wind knocked out of me. I have this pepper spray in my eyes, soaked into my mask. Everything is starting to burn. I can't focus anymore. But then I have the cognizance of mind from going from walking backwards, palms out, hands up, to just flipping him off and calmly walking away into the crowd, and then starting to lose my ability to function. And luckily there's paramedics and other team members in the protest that are, you know, not their first rodeo either. You know, grab me, take me to a paramedic, and they start flushing me with saline. And the entire time, I'm just babbling inconsolably in pain, just trying to focus on not getting caught through the advancing lines and allowing the paramedics to treat me so I could see and I could retreat with them without being completely dependent on them. Eventually, I told them to stop, you know, taking care of me and to care for other people who were also falling back from the line. And from that point on, it was me waiting for the pain to increasingly build minute by minute by minute by minute while I'm using baby wipes to wipe the pepper spray away and then a dry wipe afterwards, because I want to get a lather to pick up the oil that the pepper spray is suspended in and then do a dry wipe away. And in the meantime, trying not to let any of my sweat bring any of that pepper oil into my eyes again, and then getting it flushed by the paramedics and trying to apply the self first aid while completely covered in and pepper spray. And at the same time, like, it's hard for me to breathe. It's hard for me to walk because the flashbangs that are detonating on top of my feet had bruised the entire top of my feet and left like indents through my really, really heavy duty hiking boots. Jeez. And yeah, it was, that was my experience on that Saturday. But after about 20, 45 minutes later, after I'd gotten most everything taken care of, I had regrouped with Hashna. The protesters had regrouped and pushed the police all the way back to the original line that they had started at. And they gained no ground because me and the other people that were DPS tanking, essentially, had delayed them enough to where the protest could reform not even a full block away.
Very cool. Like, what else can I say but fuck the police? That's,
yeah,
right?
That's nuts, but...
They really play dirty.
It's you're like, you're a fucking hero there, Tempest. Like, not gonna lie, I couldn't have done that.
Also, Tempest, look at the bright side. You don't need to add any spices to your food. You come with spices pre-built.
Yeah.
You'll be like,
it hurts most when you first get hit with it, and then it'll keep hurting every time your hair brushes against your eyes or... if you don't get it off your eyelashes, it'll just hurt randomly. But the second time it will hurt the most is when you get home and take a shower.
Yes, the reflashing is also really, really painful, too.
Yeah, so if any of our listeners or your listeners are ever hit with pepper spray, when you get home, just take off all your clothes as soon as you get inside, throw them all straight into the washer, and then go straight to a shower. You're going to want to take the shower cold because... a hot shower will open up your pores and just hurt worse. Trust me, I know. I like my hot showers a little too much. That was excruciatingly painful, but worth it. But you're going to want to take it cold, and you're going to want to have some sort of antacid with you. Say a large thing of water and some Tums mixed in. So you're just going to pour that all over yourself to neutralize the pepper spray.
Anything to break down that acidity, too, that also hurts. So... but mostly, it's just flushing with water is the pretty much the only first aid that you're able to give yourself. And then just the contamination, too, is like if you are doused in this stuff, you have to take off all your clothes and you have to touch as little as possible between stripping naked at your door and getting to the shower to rinse yourself off.
And yeah, like I've seen people say you have to make sure you're also that you don't have any other clothes with the clothes that have been doused, because that will get on the rest of your clothes if you're not careful.
Exactly, like, and you have to wash them 2 or 3 times to get all of the residue off. I'm still getting reflashes 5-6 days later now.
Oh, jeez.
What's the deal with milk? I heard for some things that's good to use, like for eyes, or is that a different type of spray?
Not for the eyes. You don't want to use milk in the eyes because that increases your risk of infections and stuff like that. What you want to use milk for is the chemical burns that start forming on the rest of your body. But a lot of times, saline being a medical supply is in very short demand or very short supply, and at a lot of these events, and milk is one of the easiest things to get a hold of. And some people are willing to risk the eye infections that milk could generate for the sake of ending the pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you have saline, use saline. It's not recommended, but milk will work in a pinch.
Yeah, I can see, especially now with a lot of medical supplies being in short supply, that be an issue getting a hold of some saline.
Yeah. You know, we saw what people kind of, well, I wouldn't say pioneered, but really refined in Ferguson. And now we've seen a lot of what's been done in Hong Kong over the past 6 months or so. People are hopefully learning from what they've been doing and how to counter the cops' behavior. Because, like, I actually saw, you know, you're talking about the dousing of the tear gas canisters. I saw somebody who had, like, a 3D printer, like a custom 3D printed little thing that you would fit a water bottle, you cap it on the thing, put it over, pour the water bottle in, and like the water would go down over it and suck the gas into the water bottle as it like displaced it, so you didn't have much leakage. And I was like, people are coming up with all sorts of cool solutions to this.
The water bottle's opening like basically formed a seal around the top of this little kettle.
I don't have any experience with that, but my main issue of using something like that is, one, it's not collapsible, two, it's not easily available, three, it has a large lead time to production because it's 3D printed, dissemination is very hard, and four, ABS and other 3D printer plastics have a melting point and probably only have so many uses out of them before they're defunct.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the easiest thing is just have a bucket of water or a collapsible waterproof bag that has some sort of heat tolerance to it and use that traffic cones, and just dousing it with water works very, very, very well. And there's no
traffic
reason
cones are usually around anyway. So
oh, exactly. Especially sense. Inside of cities. So.
Yeah. So what do you all think is like, what are next steps here? What are like your predictions for like, what do you think the cops are going to try next? And where do you see the city approaching this long term?
So long term, they're going to want their precinct back. That is a lot of money and investment and influence for an area. Chief Best earlier today during the media press release that they issued today about the current state of affairs stated that their response time in the neighborhoods went from 5 minutes to 15 minutes because they had to avoid it. But then she also released very contradictory information saying that Cal Anderson Park is very central to a lot of festivals and social events inside the city. And so disruption is actually very minimal to government services. But at the same time, they have to address the threat to control because, you know, the currency of politicians is power. And any sort of influence that makes them look weak to other politicians is just ripe for them to be considered inept and removed and have their power stripped from them. So this this is very much a threat to this established system because it can grow into something that they can't control, that becomes something that the people want more, because governmental systems, they don't work on law. They don't work on force. They don't work on coercion. They work on belief. And they only work as long as people believe it does. If they don't believe in that system is effective and working, and there's obviously a very good shining example of something that works better, people are going to naturally flow to that. and the people that are invested in maintaining a status quo or their power or their privilege will see that as a very big threat to their way of life and their established comfort and their belief system that they have grown up to believe and sometimes brainwash themselves to believe.
It has been interesting to see how many people are having to reckon with the notion of the cops as a force of good when their behavior says everything otherwise. Like, oh no, the cops are good folks. And then they see people that are not even connected to these protests in cities, like having their eyes shot out and all this other stuff. In Austin, Texas, there was a young man, African-American, who got just singled out and shot with a beanbag round, cracked his skull, and he was in the ICU last I knew. And he wasn't even necessarily connected to the protest. He was just a black kid, and he was there, so they shot him. And so, like, people are seeing that the cops are not your friend. And, like, people are having to reckon with the notion of propaganda and how prevalent it is in our society, and people having a second look and being critical of the media they consume. As a silly little example of this, like watching the DC cape shows, watching Arrow, and like the season we were on, they're like, oh no, the vigilantes are legit, and they talk and they're working with the cops. And like during one episode, one of the cops gives this speech about what the policeman is, and it was complete and utter bullshit. It was, you know, total propaganda.
Wow.
And both Panther and I kind of looked at each other and were like, ugh. And yeah, like people's belief in the cops has basically failed. Because, like, you have the people that are super bought into the current status quo, the bougie whites, and then everybody else who's been getting stomped on for the past 400 years is going, yeah, see? See?
Yeah, and speaking of propaganda, can we all just have one very, very sarcastic moment of silence for Cops? That TV show is finally off fucking air.
Yeah.
Finally, yeah.
F in the chat.
Put an F in the chat.
And the thing is, that show's apparently going for 30 years. That's nuts. And
yeah, I remember it when, like, God, when Fox started up. It's been running since the 90s, at least. And another one that I hadn't heard of that's a newer show they're pulling as well. And apparently the guy in charge of it, or I don't know, is, like, super pissed about it and telling anyone to go listen.
Live PD.
Live PD, yeah. That's it, yeah. He's claiming that, like, oh, we're showing a record and holding them accountable, and it's like, dude, you've been on air for years. Ain't nothing changed.
If I'm not mistaken, with Live PD, they technically air not as a traditional TV show, but as a news broadcast, a live news broadcast.
Oh.
So unlike the TV show Cops, where they have to get a document signed to show people's faces, which, let's be frank, a lot of times they didn't have a choice. They were forced to sign that document. With live TV, because they record it live and consider it to be a news show, they can get away with just showing anyone's face. If you've ever listened to the podcast Running from Cops, I highly, highly recommend it.
I just heard about that for the first time today, so I'll have to check that out.
And it was brought to light that Live PD, was it in Oklahoma or was it in Austin? I forget. Where they had basically filmed the dude get killed by the cops, and then they just trashed the footage, and it didn't come out until just recently when everybody's paying attention to, wow, the cops sure murder a lot of people. And that probably played a large part of them deciding to drop the show, because you guys had a film crew observe a dude being murdered by the cops. Like, I wouldn't want to be that camera person.
That'd be traumatic.
Yeah, that's
shit.
If you're a hardcore asshole, you're not gonna, like, enjoy that. And that's, I mean, shows like that too, it was also pointed out, like, a lot of the charges are just dismissed, and it's resulted in a net negative to public safety in, like, Austin, because the cops were working with Live PD, and they would escalate everything constantly, resulting in way more chases, way more danger to the public. And ultimately, the DA was like, you guys don't get anything in these. I have to throw these out, these arrests out, and can't do anything charge-wise because of whatever they're doing. So they were trying to basically make, I think Brazos County in Texas was basically like, you guys can't film in our county anymore because they were just having the cops go hog wild, and it was just basically just a danger to people.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember hearing that at least in one situation, I can't remember if it happened multiple times, but some of the officers, while recording episodes of Cops, were caught planting drugs on innocent bystanders just to get TV ratings. And then I remember hearing about, from that podcast I mentioned, Running from Cops, that there's one other guy that it was like some Christmas special episode, and he just was carrying around a bag of herbs, which really were herbs, not drugs. And the cops were like, yeah, yeah, sure, that's totally drugs. And they tested it. And yeah, it was just herbs. He carries it around for when he goes to restaurants. Weird person, but nothing illegal there. So he consents airing it because, yeah, sure, it's funny. Sure enough, he gets fired for it because it doesn't look good having an employee that was on Cops, even if they didn't get in trouble. So a lot of these people aren't even being charged with anything, and they're having their lives ruined.
Yeah, like, it's misery on people's backs. It's putting, more often than not, minorities into the system, which is never a good thing. I mean, putting anybody in the system is not a good thing at all. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Like, it's like, we should have somebody on to talk about, like, we're talking about police abolition and, you know, communes and autonomous zones. Like, I need to get somebody on that wants to talk about, like, prison abolition and what that entails, because that is also a conversation that we should have, because holy shit, our system is extremely fucked.
I mean, like, I guess it involved more, like, rehab type facilities, which, I mean, at least my generation was sort of raised to believe that, like, jail and prison was supposed to rehabilitate people and make them better people and then return to society. And then, but in reality, you've got the for-pay prison system is just how many poor people can we cram into this tuna can and maximize our profits and basically make it as
scarring. I just found a sorry, a brigade of cops just rode their bicycles past me on their way to the precinct to try to retake it. I'm on the ground right now at the edge of the Chaz zone. So, wow.
Is there like a heavy police presence down there?
Live update.
Yes, they're actively re-entering the precinct right now.
Oh, shit.
Have they escalated any violence yet? I'd be there right now if I didn't have that doctor's appointment.
No, right now there's just a bunch of people surrounding the building. I don't have sight of the precinct right now, but as far as updates from the channels so far, it just looks like people are trying to stop them. Oh, there's another brigade of probably about 30 cops coming up again on their bicycles to re-enter. I'm going to see if I can follow them this time around. Oh, hey, SWAT. Wow, oh, SWAT just almost ran me. Whoa. Holy shit.
Stay safe out there.
Yeah, what the? Be careful.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Yeah.
Drop if you need to and stay safe.
I'll stay on as long as I can for the recording. Because never know when I might get gooned.
Oh, jeez.
You know, that occurred to me. If you're on the line when they try to mess with you, you know.
That'll be some...
some kind of evidence.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm waiting at a traffic light with a brigade of cops right now for pedestrian crosswalk to start.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's a good thing the cops are observing the traffic laws, right? You know?
Yeah.
For now, yeah. But I just had 5 cop cars just before this try to almost run me over. So.
Yeah, we heard the chirp of their siren for a second there.
Yeah, I was crossing the street on a crosswalk and they almost ran me over.
It's like,
oh, jeez.
They're smart-assing me right now when I'm talking with you guys on the phone. Mm. Wow.
Not surprising.
So how are they smart-assing you?
Oh, because he was saying, like, he was just saying, we're allowed to walk on the sidewalk, blah, 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 and he was just out of context hearing me talk to y'all.
Tell them you're talking to your Antifa leaders.
Yeah, basically they just want to get a rise out of you for a chance to be like, oh, they mouthed off to me, and then they want to exact violence on people. They're fucking animals.
Yeah, I know. God damn. It's just like, it's a toxic combination of it's a bad culture, and it's a bad structures in place to promote that culture and to prevent change and to prevent internal reporting and to prevent anything of value actually sticking mm-hmm. inside the precinct. So
yeah, and you see the reports of like the cops that do say something, or the, you know, I read one today. It was from a couple years ago where a cop tried to de-escalate the situation, and the second cop shows up and shoots the guy dead. And it was the first cop that got fired for not immediately killing the person, you know, blackmail, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry for cutting you off there. But when I was a kid, I used to really actually want to be a cop. But as time went on, I realized just how much of a piece of shit police were. And I honestly never expected that I would be on the other side of the police in such a situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a dumb fucking child.
Well, again, no, it's pervasive propaganda.
Like, yeah, we all grew up, like, from elementary school, they bring in Officer Dan or Fire Chief Bill or Nurse Ratchet and so forth. And you're taught this your whole life. Cops are good. Drugs are bad, and if you're white, you're taught black people are scary. Especially in this country, you're taught that. So you grow up with those prejudices and beliefs, and then you start to find out, like, oh, I'd like to smoke a joint, huh? Oh, wait, that's illegal for no fucking reason. And then you start kind of looking at the system and being like, man, why are black people a minority in this country, but they're filling the jails, and they're accused of all the drug offenses, and you realize something's wildly out of balance. And yeah, it changes your perspective entirely. And you can't help the way you're raised when you're young and literally ignorant, not in a pejorative way. But you just figure this stuff out as you grow up. So a lot of people right now are getting a real shocking eye-opening.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be definitely a lot fewer kids saying they want to be a cop when they grow up, because now we're actually seeing it. I remember the moment that really changed my opinion on all this. I'll be honest, I'm not going to say my exact age, but I'm early 20s. When I was still a teenager back in 2014, I'm having a really big brain fart on his name, but Ferguson... The man that was killed in Ferguson. I remember seeing
Mike Brown, right?
Yeah, I think Mike Brown.
Mike Brown. I remember seeing his killing, and that's when everything kind of just snapped for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks that I have to say it, but the more cops kill innocent black people, the more people are going to come to their senses. That's exactly what we're seeing here. And if they think it's bad this time, next time the police decide to be a piece of shit, it's going to be a lot worse.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Because right now, we're in unprecedented generational turmoil in this country. COVID-19 has been on everyone's mind. We're still trying to relax restrictions and quarantine settings just to try and maintain our economy. And it's just this weird balance because everyone's been stuck inside. Everyone is just sick and tired of watching their Netflix and their YouTube. Everyone is bored of playing their video games nonstop. People want to go outside. People want to do things. And now there's this event that's on the forefront of their minds. And that's just very, very pervasive. And people can't ignore that because it's everywhere and everyone's talking about it, like with all the other times. It takes a very large effort of will to ignore and to not discuss and have an internal debate of why people are complaining so loudly and only look at the surface issues and not dig deeper into underlying problems in our society that induce this sort of situations with us.
And it doesn't help that this occurs, like you said, during COVID-19 when so many people have lost their jobs. What else are they going to do, right? They have plenty of time to be out on the street and realizing, you know, they're not in school right now, but they're getting an education, as it were.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember, what was it, like a year or two ago, the Proud Boys came to Seattle and I wanted to go protest that, but I was stuck at work and I left the soonest moment I could and I like just barely missed the counter protest. And now that I've been unemployed for what's it been, like a month or two now, I've had all the free time in the world to go and support the Chaz and support this cause. I guess that's a silver lining.
Yeah, I mean, this, and I said this last week, but like the fact that this all started over like a fake 20 is wild, but all that this has happened, like it's going to be hopefully a net positive for society that, you know, people are waking up to the fucked situation that we're dealing with. You know, so many of us have housing insecurity or job insecurity, and like the government's not doing it. Like the government's doing fuck all. And like I've seen stuff today where it's like, oh, well, you know, the moratorium on evictions is coming up, and, you know, we're going to have a housing apocalypse is what I think the headline said, because
holy crap,
you know,
yeah,
they're, these landlords are like, all right, we're going to evict all these people. So we're going to have this massive slate of homelessness coming up in the country. And that's not going to help. Like,
you know what would help though? If the Seattle police just fucking abandoned the East Precinct and let us convert it into a community center like we wanted to, that would help that problem.
And, yeah, I was thinking like a homeless shelter would be really handy.
Yeah, so homeless shelter was discussed. A safe consumption site was discussed. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of armchair generaling about the idea, and there wasn't any real consensus about it. But the main advantage it had to us was a bargaining chip. It was a something that we could use to leverage against the mayor and the chief of police in order to allow our protest to continue peacefully. And actually, right now, I have the site of the precinct. Looks like there's close to 2,500 people out here, maybe closer to 21.
But, how many cops are you seeing?
They're going in through a back entry, or they're just stationing outside. More than likely, they're going into the underground garage off of 12th Avenue. Yeah, if they are approaching at all. They're trying to gain entry, and based off of the 120 police officers I saw riding their bicycles in, plus the other 25 SWAT officers inside the vans that tried to run me over that were already in their full combat gear, tried to run me over, or almost ran me over, but didn't try, almost. But
are you seeing any armored vehicles out there?
No armored vehicles. They're all unmarked, or they're very close to being unmarked. The only time I saw it is because they had a combat helmet on the guy in the passenger seat, so I gave him a friendly wave, and then I didn't even notice the other cars behind me. And then as I was trying to do the crosswalk when it was my signal to go. Oh, man. Oh, here we are. So I'm on the foot of the precinct at the moment, and yeah, it looks like the police don't have access at the moment, or if they have, they have another entrance somewhere to get into the precinct in and out without going into the Chaz itself.
Well, I certainly hope that they got everybody out of there, because I would not want to be someone caught inside when those pigs get access.
Yeah, no one's going inside. It's a very bad idea to go inside. Everyone has that consensus. Now it's just business as usual. It's like a festival out here right now. That's the current vibes I'm getting. People don't know that police are very unaware of the fact that police are surrounding the Chaz right now. Yeah, I don't even know. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen tonight. So more than likely, they're just going to stage and try to set up a new line tonight. Because Safeway, the regime-controlled Safeway, is filled with cop cars again. So
they got done with their donuts.
Oh, no. Bad cop, no donut.
Well, Tempest, just be safe and make sure you don't get kettled out there. I'm really tempted to just drive right down myself right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to be as safe as possible and very aware of the surroundings and kind of explore. So, yeah, it's definitely like a festival thing. There's tents in the middle of the street and all over the sidewalk. It's great.
Yeah, I saw Robert describe it as a small local burn. Like a Burning Man type thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of just out there doing their own thing, and the cops are being egotistical assholes and trying to shut them up.
Yep, definitely. Right now I'm just going through and checking the barricades, and my mic button might come on and off here, or I might accidentally hang up, just to let you know here. Because I can't really see the button that much. I'm going to test it out right now. Check one, two.
Yep. I can hear you.
Yeah, we can still hear you. Still here.
All right, my mute button is not working still.
Oh.
Well, if you hang up, message us to let us know that you're, you know, still safe.
I'm discussing something sensitive with security or with an organizer out here, so.
Oh, yeah, keep yourself safe.
Definitely.
Like, you've certainly been a fantastic guest and resource. Thank you so much for talking to us, as you have already. Like, you're out there being a big damn hero.
Hey, what's up, man?
So, you know, we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad
that
both you and Hashner were here to educate us.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We got good brigade security right now. We see a lot of filters. Fire cones are set out right now. This is a really good situation that we're in right now. So, yeah, they've definitely done some changes to the barricades for the better security and everything. So, but yeah, no one wants to talk to me right now because I'm obviously talking on my phone. So, yeah.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, if you got to drop to talk serious business with your folks, do that. Because, like, again, this is just a good interview. I mean, really appreciate it. You know, you got to do what you do to stay safe, you know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I'll do what I can to keep people safe here, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we got a battle medic out here, too. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Couple battle medics.
Is that the guy in, like, full plate armor?
No, it looks like he's got a stolen riot shield.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine, she went out to a protest on her side of the country on the East Coast, and, like, she was the only medic there at the time. Like, she was the only person visible with, like, a supply bag and stuff, so she was very, very scared in that situation because she was afraid she was going to get targeted for being a visible medic.
Jesus.
It's ridiculous that they're actually targeting medics and medical supplies, like a literal war crime.
Yeah, they're targeting the craziest of shit. They've been destroying any supplies that we've left out once they've pushed through us. We had like 3 or 4 different memorials to all the people who have died in these protests and George Floyd, and just all of them. I remember seeing one. I even got video of it. Well, I didn't get video of the police destroying it, but I did get video of the just recently destroyed memorial and people already starting to rebuild it. And the fast food restaurant, I forget the name of it, but Tempest mentioned it earlier, where we have the medic station in the little outdoor eatery there.
Mm-hmm.
When we were pushed out, the glass front door was fine. When we got back, the glass front door was shattered. Could have been a flashbang. Could have been the police. I can't know for certain, but I am definitely suspicious.
I mean, we've seen the footage in various reports of various gay bars and clubs getting attacked by the cops for the audacity of helping out people and serving as medic stations. The Stonewall Inn in New York City, of all places, got busted up by the cops and additional other places.
Aww.
Because
if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
And the cops are like, we're going to repeat it.
Yeah. Over and over again.
And the other thing, too, is I think it was Seattle PD that was trying to claim that they had an incendiary device that was thrown at them that was very clearly a votive candle that was not even – that had been unlit at the time. Like, it still had the sticker on the bottom of the shattered container that said candle.
I remember seeing that fly over the line.
Yeah, we were both there during that.
You know, they're like,
as soon as we saw that candle going over the line, I immediately started gearing up, putting my gas mask on, putting my knee pads on, getting out my battle kit from my backpack. Yeah.
But they were like, oh, this explosive device, this, you know, Virgin of Guadalupe prayer candle. I'm going to get some wax flakes on my Iron Man armor. And yeah, like the stuff that they've been trying to claim, oh, we're being assaulted, and there's like they cleaned up the street and found some broken glass, or the thing, like you said, they stole somebody's tiny little planter off their porch. They're like, this combat gravel, this bucket of rocks, they tried to call it, when it's very clearly like an 8 ounce or 16 ounce planter with drainage gravel at the bottom that they like took the flowers out of.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to gin up sympathy, and literally everyone is realizing they're so full of shit. The same with the Austin cops who wrote themselves thank you notes with, you know, no postage. All the handwriting was the same. And everyone's like, we know what you're doing. We're not stupid.
How are they this stupid, though? Like, they're supposed to solve crimes.
Well, it's because there's people stupid enough to believe them.
I mean,
they might be being corrupted by the Cheeto in charge.
I mean, you're right. There is plenty of people on Facebook. Like, there was that one idiot that was trying to claim that, oh, that the Antifa family card. Have you guys seen that? That, like, trying to claim that there's an official Antifa debit card that's what George Soros pays you through. And it's like Antifa family. And like, there's three tiers. And it was made as a joke by some German guy. And then some right winger in the US grabbed it and posted it as proof that these people coming in and protesting are all being paid by George Soros and or Bill Gates, depending. And that this is how he distributes it, through his Antifa family debit card. So, you know, don't make sure that if you own a store, don't accept this.
People are really trying to, like, find any excuse they can to dismiss us. Like, the video that I recorded where that first Saturday of protests in Seattle, I caught on video the cops pepper spraying the totally peaceful crowd. And I posted it to Reddit. It got about 6,000-7,000 upvotes. And I kept getting comments like, oh, I looked at your post history and you were saying, like, if you're going to loot the Walmarts or Targets, not the small businesses. And they were taking that comment and being like, you see, you guys were out there looting Walmarts and Targets. And it's like, I wasn't doing that. I was just saying that's what you should be doing. And this doesn't discredit what the Seattle police were doing. When the Seattle police attacked, none of the protesters had gotten violent yet.
Yeah, I mean, they'll look for anything. And like, when it comes to the propaganda discussion, you know, people were trending Paw Patrol because people very obviously made the joke. It's like, yeah, defund Paw Patrol. Fuck that dog. And they posted it in the New York Times.
And the Onion posted their article from a few years ago.
But people are trying to make – they're using the most ridiculous straw man possible to try to, like – prevent people from having a moment of realization that, man, there sure are a lot of cop dramas that are very wildly inaccurate. Like, you know, you watch even shows like Lucifer, where it's literally Satan working with a cop and they solve their crime every week. And we all know that the clearance rates of crimes are sub 50%. You know, many of us have had that experience where, like, our door has been kicked in or our house has been robbed and the cops show up a couple hours later, shrug, and you never hear from them again. Like, this notion that even murder, like, clearance rates are, like, 30 to 50%. So it's like, you know, we're fed this steady drip of lies by our media. And people realize that, but then they try to deflect it by saying, oh, well, Paul, you're going to make fun of Paw Patrol? Well, yeah, actually, Chase is a class traitor. All dogs go to heaven except for him. You know, Judy Hopps, she's off the list. Nick, you're a double class traitor. Fuck you. Get out, you know? Your only fine is if they can Zootopia 2, you've quit the force and you're become PIs and or, you know, something else.
Carrot farmers.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but Nick and Judy, you're canceled. Like, I back in the day, you know, we would joke, it's like, oh, you know, the podcast chat was the Nick and Judy appreciation station. Well, no more. We've learned our lesson. If we need a size difference couple in anime, we've got Haru and Legoshi.
Fuck yeah.
There's plenty of side characters people have written Zootopia fanfics about. That's fine. But I'm sorry, no more Fox and Bunny. It's just how it has to be.
I might have to drop out here for a second. So
that's fine.
Am I able to rejoin?
Yeah. If you're able to rejoin, that's great. Just, you know, maintain OPSEC as you need.
All right. Thanks.
Catch you later, Tempest. Be safe.
It's funny, too, because people are having that realization. I mean, we've talked about, you know, the propaganda and stuff, and then it – like, people actually making efforts, like websites realizing, wow, we've got a problem with this. Like we mentioned last week, I think Derpaboru has tried to clamp down on the hate art and stuff there, which is funny because the bronies. But then you also have people actually facing consequences for being racist dipshits. Like there was a Riot Game executives who got put on unpaid leave while they investigate him because he was posting dumb shit on Twitter about it. You know, we've had a huge amount of furries just show their whole ass online when it comes to this. Like last week going into this week, just people can't keep their fucking mouths shut You were saying Hashtag.
A lot of people forget that the First Amendment only applies to government censorship. It doesn't apply to being free from criticism.
It's like, that's the government, not us. Not the people around you going, dude, what the hell? And, like,
I saw a thing today from, I think it was FA Notes or one of those, like, screen cap of furry tweets thing where it was like, this person who has a closed species of space dragons was just being racist, and oh yeah, by the way, this person like faves a bunch of right-wing tweets and calls people animals, and their Discord chat gets screen capped, and it's like their boyfriend was like oblivious to it, and also they'd made a side account complaining that they weren't having enough sex to sate them, and he's like, wow, wish I didn't know about this. This has ruined my day. And it's like,
Jesus, fuck.
There's just been this steady stream of people that can't stop showing their ass. Like Gabriel Brown, Black Griffin, the brony musician who grew up to date one of the voice actors, the one straight voiced actress of the Cutie Mark Crusaders when she was legal. That's a creepy enough situation on their own. But like, turns out, yeah, that dude's a right winger dumbass and he's Canadian. But he was faving tweets about, like, you know, how dare they, you know, loot and burn, and they're destroying their own community. Just, you know, the usual right-wing stuff. And it's like, wow, I knew this guy was an asshole. But it's nice to see that people are also seeing it.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Well, I mean, again, only reason I saw it is, like, Wootmaster retweeted it. And because, like, they're making efforts to try to clean up the pony community, what's left of it. Like, he's the thorn in many, many people's sides, him and a few other people. And
who is that?
Wootmaster. He's a black brony from Houston.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, like, he, you know, it's like people are showing their asses and fandoms are having to reckon with those people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I heard this one joke, and it's very true. For the most part, what happened to the brony community is nowadays, if you are a brony and, like, 2014, 2012, you're probably now either an alt-right chud or a furry. And there's, like, no in-between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen the variation where it's like you're either a fascist or trans. And it's like, well, at least I picked the correct side.
Hell yeah. Also, Saverin, I forget, what are your preferred pronouns again?
I use they, them.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's been like a year since I kind of brought that up for the first time. Yay.
Yeah, I would say I have the memory of a goldfish, but that would be really insulting, goldfish.
Oh, no. Like, I'm literally, like, a pronouns and bio kind of person. And so, like, I want to make double, like, triple make sure what they are for folks before I refer to them. Just because it's like, I don't want to fuck up.
Yeah, I should probably put my pronouns back in my bio. I removed it a while ago because I wanted to go stealth. And I did for a while. But, I mean, there's a lot of cis people putting their pronouns in their bios now, too. So,
I mean,
it would probably be safe.
Yeah.
It's
I'm cis and I have it in my bio.
Oh, yeah.
There's also the thing that, like, in furry, we all go under different names. And, like, for years, I would follow an artist and, like, meet a bit of person. I was like, oh, you're different than I expected. Cool. You know? Like, you don't know what gender somebody is. And so now that we have Twitter and we're talking to each other online more often and Telegram, it's just handy to put that in your profile so that you don't accidentally misgender somebody.
Yeah, I mean,
it just makes sense.
It's just a tiny little way to show a bit of respect to someone else. Like, make sure you refer to them how they want to be referred. It's not hard. It takes no time at all. And, like, for the people that are intent on being assholes online, they're not going to care. But if you're engaging with people in good faith, it just is that little bit of extra, you know, showing that, no, actually, I'm trying to talk to you and not just be a rando asshole on Twitter.
Yeah, as a trans person, I can definitely tell when someone is really trying to use proper pronouns and when someone's just trying to be a dick. I understand if you are really trying to get my pronouns correctly, but you're having a hard time remembering. Maybe you knew me back in high school before I transitioned or something. But I can tell the difference between you being a dick and you being genuinely forgetful, and I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing about my forgetfulness is sometimes I will know that somebody is trans, but forget what direction they were going. So I'll want to use the correct pronoun. It'll be like, I can't remember what you identified as when I met you,
versus what you're identifying as now. So I'll be like, why didn't you just put this in your profile?
For me, a lot of times, if I haven't seen someone in a while, like, hey, don't you remember me? The answer is genuinely going to be no. I felt really bad because I knew somebody before they transitioned, and like this was back in like 2015, 2016, and then in, like last year they came to Furry Fiesta and were like, oh, hey, Siren, how's it going? And I was like, hi, how are you? Can I help you? And they were like, don't you recognize me? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't. And they said who they were, and I'm like, oh, cool, nice to meet you, good to see you again. But furry events are really good for me because everybody has a badge, and the prevalence of pronoun pins and or buttons and ribbons makes things very easy. But if someone on the street comes up to me like, oh, hey, don't you remember me? The answer is going to be no, I'm sorry. I've slept since we last talked, and my memory
I know that
is bad.
All too well.
I swear, if somebody changes their clothes from one part of the day to the next time I see them, I will fail to recognize them. If you put on a jacket or take off a hat, there's a 50% chance I'll be like, wait, did we talk earlier?
You're like, you have the memory of a Metal Gear Solid guard. What was that? Oh, I guess it's nothing. So, again, I think we can probably shift towards slightly better topics, or slightly happier topics, because, you know, this is really cool. You know, today was the release of the PlayStation 5 video, but one of the things that was cool, and it's very applicable to us, have you guys seen the Goodbye Volcano High?
I don't think I have, no.
So
I saw a couple of screen caps, and there's a non-binary dragon character who's purple, I think.
So it's a furry... it's not a furry, it's a game that features like anthro dinosaur people, and it's a launch title for the PlayStation 5, PS4, and Steam. And it features anthro dino people, and the main character, Fang, is non-binary, and it's a decision-based game along the lines of like...
Night in the Woods?
Well, could be Night in the Woods, because it, you know, that game doesn't require like reflexes or anything. Life is Strange. Like that, where it's like a narrative story where you're making decisions, but not like relying on Twitch gameplay. And so like the main character is like this pterodactyl named Fang, and they're last year of high school. And I'm assuming like it takes place right before the meteor hits the Earth and they face the apocalypse, that Fang has to come to grips with themselves before the end of the world. And as you would expect, the gamers are being really shitty about it, but, you know, it's cool that there's a headlining, like, this was on the launch video, the reveal video of the PlayStation 5 with a non-binary furry game, which I think is cool.
That is really awesome. I can't say very many details about it because it'd be, like, hella spoilers, but in one of the later seasons of She-Ra, there was a fairly important character to the story that was non-binary, and I just fucking love them, but I'm not going to say anything else because spoilers. But I'm also seeing Tempest is back. And I'm hearing a bunch of cats in the background. So what's our voice from the front, if I could just hijack the podcast?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Sure, pretty good. Just getting a tie-in from Organizer and just letting you know what's going on. Right now we have police helicopters circling overhead, and police that came into the precinct earlier are now leaving on bicycles. There's a bit of a shift change going on, so they're trying to maintain occupation inside the building while still rotating officers in and out safely.
Looks like Robert Evans is on the ground there, too. He's live-tweeting with some video.
Oh, cool. Do you know what corner he's on?
I mean, he made a video of, like, there's orange barricade, people milling around. I don't know if he would actually say on here. Let me see.
Yeah, like, he posted a video that he was next to, like, a sign that had, like, an education, affinity groups, by the Night Watch sign up, I'm guessing.
Night Watch sign up. All right. So he's live there right now?
He was posting tweets as of 4 minutes ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And he is familiar with furries, so. Let's see, I don't know if you heard about that. He had Dio on the Worst Year Ever podcast, and they did a really interesting expose of how furries have dealt with the fash, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the episode I actually found. What was it? Behind the Bastards was the podcast he did? Because I know he does a whole bunch of shows.
He does Behind the Bastards, and that particular podcast was Worst Year Ever.
Okay, so it was done on Worst Year Ever. Yeah, I'm following, right now I'm listening through Woman's War. I listen to a lot of his podcasts, so it's kind of hard to keep track, but I love his stuff.
The Bastard Network, because there's, a bunch of different podcasts.
Oh, yeah. But hey, as of today, I just got a new job, and I'm going to have, a 30-40 minute commute one way every day, so I'll finally have time to listen to podcasts again.
Yeah, that's a minor benefit, I guess. I mean,
yay, being a slave to the capitalist.
Yeah,
at least
I can't just keep holding health insurance over my head so I can get back on track for bottom surgery. But
if you're not forced to work 10 hours.
Oh, you're breaking up right really now. Bad there. I get that.
Yeah, Tempest, we can't hear a thing you're saying.
It's probably a lot of people and cell signals there. It's probably messing up the signal.
Okay, how about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you change?
My mic. My mic had shifted.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. We were just like, uh-oh. She went dark.
Yeah. Right now I'm on a 11th and Pine. Most of the people are hanging out right at the foot of street paint is right now actually being colored. So they're having artists out there right now coloring the Black Lives Matter sign on the ground.
Sitting
right next to the it's actually really cool. They're doing a lot of really neat art on it, and I think they might be trying to seal it. I think I see at one corner too, so they're probably going to seal it onto the pavement.
Very cool.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm at the community co-op. Everything's free. Just take what.
Tempest, you've gone robot-y again.
Shutting down.
Well, looks like that's the next apocalypse of 2020 when the robots take over.
Hey, I mean. Well, that's okay.
They're out here taking over our podcast.
The giant solar flare will take care of them.
Oh, yeah.
Tempest, I'm sorry, but we lost you, entirely.
Plug into a charger. You're low on power.
Please stand by while we experience technical difficulties.
Yep.
Dinosaurs running down on it.
Just sounds like GLaDOS shutting down.
Kind of does.
Okay.
Oh,
and she's gone.
She dropped.
Oh, okay.
I certainly hope she stays safe down there. It doesn't seem like the cops are going full bore yet, but if they're going to do anything, it'll probably be tonight.
Oh, yeah. I am, really tempted to drive down there, as soon as this is over.
I think at this point, we've recorded for an hour and 40 minutes at this point. I think we've kind of really discussed a lot of what we wanted to talk about tonight. One last thing, fuck J.K. Rowling, fuck TERFs. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
She went full mask off, and, it sucks if these books were a point of your growing up. But there are better books now, and perhaps you should move on from Harry Potter as your point of reference politically. Don't be a lib.
Oh, yeah. I love how all the cast of the Harry Potter movies are, turning against her now.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. Yeah, it's been great seeing them make a lot of trans solidarity tweets and such.
Daniel Radcliffe and the actress that Hermione's voice actress. Emma Watson, yeah. I don't think Rupert Grint has said anything, but I don't know if he's on Twitter. But, if Harry and Hermione are hey, JK, what the hell? No.
Yeah.
Trans women are women, trans men are men, what the hell?
Well, I remember reading years ago an interview with Daniel Radcliffe and talking about how many gay people were working on Harry Potter behind the scenes and costume and makeup and stuff like that. So that from his perspective, as a child, he literally grew up around gay people. So that's really informed him a lot, and he's made a lot of very, pro-queer statements and such. So, I think that's where his stance is informed at this point. And, it's really unfortunate that J.K. Rowling has gone this way, but at this point, what's the name that we give to things that are
are no longer authored by somebody, Severin.
Oh, well, we don't want to blame Hatsune Miku for the content of the books. It's still J.K. Rowling, because, okay, like, there's a lot of problems in the books at this point, but...
Yeah, they probably haven't aged greatly.
I was looking up Rupert Grint to see if he had said anything, but apparently he doesn't use social media, so he is, by that metric alone, far smarter than any of us, because he's not on social media. Hey, welcome back, Tempest.
Tempest is back.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I assumed you were probably down at a really dense area that didn't have signal.
Yeah, I was right at the co-op, and I was realized matter street, and yeah, I guess I got a little bit congested. I think I connected to an open Wi-Fi, and I realized I hadn't secured my singlet as well as I.
And back to the robot dimension.
Yeah, I think we're gonna wrap it up for tonight anyway.
Yeah, Tempest.
I found news crews all down here.
Oh, well, they're probably expecting things to get pretty hot then, I guess.
I'll probably be heading down tonight, and then I'll send updates to the Southpaws fan chat.
Okay. Okay, well, be safe and all.
Yeah, so we're going to wrap this up. Thank you for coming on, Hashna. Thank you for coming on, Tempest. She had to drop because signal down there is probably real fucked right now. Please stay safe down there, and thank you very much for coming on this episode, because, you know, y'all are down there, y'all are in the trenches, and really appreciate that.
Thank you so, so much for having me on. I just have to say, I've been listening since, like, I was back in high school, since I was, like, 16, 17 years old. Love the show ever since, and it's a dream come true for you to have me on today.
Well, I'm glad. That's really cool to hear.
I'm glad we've all grown since then, too.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys for listening. You can find us, southpawscast@gmail.com, to email us. We'll include some links to various bail funds this week in lieu of pitching the Patreon. And find us in the fan chat, where we get, you know, on-the-ground updates from folks going on, and discussion, and lots of furry porn, too. So that's just probably going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks again, Hashna. Thanks, Tempest. And good night.
And all cops are bastards.
And Black Lives Matter.